Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Olympia, Washington, and brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And as Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, "Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is," for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." That should be an encouragement, and it should be a prompting to get out and live your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. Today, I have a special guest with me, John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout. Thanks for joining me once again, JJ. A lot going on here, man.
Matt, it's a pleasure as always. And yes, there is. There's a lot of things that we're tracking this week. A lot of stuff in the news cycle. And in fact, the updates, the developments are happening so quickly, it's nearly impossible to keep up with it all.
It really is. You know, it's interesting that we focus a lot of times on how the United States is affecting other countries in the world, instead of how some of these lessons in the rest of the world really are lessons for us here in the United States of America.
And a lot of them are lessons from history, if we look back.
Yeah, if we read history. But, right. You know, that's a novel concept today, right? You know, we don't know what happened 25 years ago a lot of times. You can't even have an intelligent conversation a lot of times, even with so-called educated people, because nobody really has read history, but who needs that?
Right.
It's not going to apply to all this robotics and artificial intelligence and stuff that we're doing, but actually, yes, it does.
Well, what's interesting when we talk about that in the context of history, especially on the left end of the political spectrum, they're very quick to accuse people of being Nazis. If you want to stand for traditional American ideals and protect our borders, you're a Nazi. They don't even know what that means. But I saw a Man on the Street episode, and this guy's asking them, you know, what do you know about Adolf Hitler? And they're like, well, I've not really anything. I've never heard of him.
He's a guy with the thing and the stuff with the government or something?
Who did something. He was the vice president of Garfield or someone.
Yeah. Was that in the United States? Right. Yeah. Right? And you're like, are we actually having this conversation?
Right? It's amazing how illiterate, historically illiterate, our culture has become. So,
and for the record, National Social. Okay, so fascism was created by Italian socialists.
Yes.
And Benito Mussolini, who was the head of the Italian socialist newspaper, became an advocate of fascism.
Right.
And then became the dictator of Italy. And Hitler liked his processes so much, he actually adopted them as part of the National Socialist Party.
Imagine that.
So,
see the correlation?
See how many times I can say socialist in a sentence?
Socialist.
Right? We're going to be talking about that today. Let's start with that first. Venezuela. Okay, one of the richest oil countries in the entire world, naturally yes. wealthy, and under Chavez and Maduro, they have driven it literally into the ground where people now have inflation like Weimar Republic, where they literally have wheelbarrows full of cash, and you have people starving in the streets, literally.
It's the pinnacle of examples of how amazing socialism and communism is. In fact, it was just Al Jazeera of all news outlets covered that, saying that Venezuela devalued its currency again 35% on Monday, yesterday, to bring it into line with the exchange rate of the dollar on the black market. So now the exchange rate's fixed at like 3,200 bolivars to the dollar. And it just continues to deteriorate.
So the White House has now recognized Juan Guaido as the interim president. Now he is the head of parliament, but essentially deposing Maduro just by international recognition. Essentially, that's what they're trying to do.
That's That's what he was. Yeah, he was sworn in. He swore himself in.
Right.
President Trump acknowledges this. And so now, yeah, Maduro says there's going to be legal ramifications in the international courts. And we're talking boycotts on Venezuelan oil.
To make them even more poor. You know, maybe it's the sash that Maduro wears. I don't know. Maybe that kind of clouds his judgment or something. I don't know.
And something's gone to his head. What's interesting, though, is how delusional they are. They're saying it's because of the U.S. economic policies is the cause of their the economic state of Venezuela.
So it's Trump's fault.
Right. Well, at the very least, the United States' fault. It doesn't matter. It's just not his fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is, yes, just as long as it's not his fault or his socialist predecessors.
Just, you know, buy him like a beach house in Tahiti and say, dude, you're done. Okay. Right. I mean, but the fact is that you have all these people that have been displaced. They're fleeing the country. They're starving in the streets. Some of the stories that are coming out of there, cannibalism, women selling their bodies, selling their hair. Selling their children. These are cautionary tales. I mean, this is one of the wealthiest countries in the world at one time. And people are saying, this could never happen here in the United States of America. I think that really is arrogant to say that when you see something like that happen in Venezuela in 10 years. I mean, this isn't like it took 50 years. It was 10 years.
What happens when corruption squanders the wealth of a nation and at the same time introducing socialism? Would that be fair to say that this would be something that the United States should be paying attention to? Or are we too big to fall?
Right.
Didn't the Romans say that?
I think they did, actually. So the other thing that came out of Venezuela as a cautionary tale, aside from the massive hyperinflation that people said would never happen in a modern country, aside from the starvation that they said would never happen in a modern country, despite all of the depravity they said would never happen in a modern country, one of the other huge cautionary tales was this 28-year-old Venezuelan who said, we never had a chance because we didn't have guns. I think that's something, especially for Washington State today.
That was a Venezuelan, someone who immigrated from Venezuela, talking about that.
There was one guy that immigrated from Venezuela that said it. There's a 20-year-old kid that lives in Venezuela who said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So you have this common thread where people are saying, look, tyranny happened and we didn't have a chance to stop it because we didn't have guns.
Right.
And I think we need to bring that argument back that it's not just about self-defense. It's about preventing the rise of a tyrannical government.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which we need to remind ourselves, because those that are advocating for just in Washington State for these draconian anti-gun measures, really it's anti-self-defense measures. It's stripping the citizens' ability away to be able to stand up against tyranny with the new laws that they're pushing for. I wanted to ask you about that. What's the temperament in Olympia as far as
it's looking like they want to push some of these through, and I was, you know, kind of save it a little bit for later, but let's talk about it now. They want to do a magazine ban. They want to make you a criminal if you don't report a stolen firearm within 5 days. They essentially, all law abiding citizens that have any sort of firearm that has any sort of capacity magazine, trying to turn them into criminals quite literally overnight. And it's interesting, they talk about that in Venezuela, where the people that did have guns, then they tried to confiscate them. When they did a voluntary turn-in program, only 37 people turned their guns in, and it was only after confiscation where they got 13,000 of them, right? So that tells you where this is headed.
Well, California was a really good example of that, when they had an estimated, I think it was 17 or 19%. Turned in during this amnesty period. People just do not want to be disarmed. And because they're hearing the stories of those who did comply because they wanted to be good citizens, and it left them defenseless. We're looking at the same situation now in South Africa. where people are threatened and there is nobody that's going to come to their aid, the aid of their families, the aid of their communities. They're going to be completely on their own. Now, Zimbabwe, that's hardly even talked about in the news. There's so much happening in Zimbabwe right now. They're, I would say, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of where South Africa is going. And in all of these cases, people are being threatened with their lives. The government is either complicit or they're turning their backs and leaving the people to themselves. So that magazine ban or high capacity magazine ban that happened 10 years ago when everything was great. And so why do you even need more than 10 rounds? Well, that's fine, but you don't know the future. Well, actually we do know the future because we pay attention to history and it tells us don't give up any capacity to be able to defend yourself, whether it's 30 round capacity or 250 round drum capacity. You never want to limit your capacity to defend life, liberty, and property.
You know, it's interesting. If you look back in history, Article 1, Section 24 of the Washington State Constitution says the right to bear arms shall not be impaired. Second Amendment shall not be infringed. It was for the exact moment when people like Governor Inslee or Attorney General Ferguson would ask for your gun. This exists for the exact moment that people like that come forward. And I don't even think they realize it. They're actually fulfilling a prophecy of the founding fathers that people like that would try to eventually come forward and take our right to bear arms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Zimbabwe. Tell the listeners about what's going on in Zimbabwe and South Africa. You know, you have the mainstream media narrative is you just got a small minority of people who are just complaining about their property being taken when this is actually a just thing to happen. You know, nothing to see here, but actually, again, this is a cautionary tale for the United States.
I have a full report right here and I haven't been able to pull some of the highlights out of it, but we're talking this week and this was submitted to me by one of my contacts in South Africa that we've been working with, a Christian group of whites who have been told, we are going to kill you because of the color of your skin. And they're pleading for international help. Very few people are responding. And so they are tracking what's going on and they're bordering nations. What's interesting is as quickly as South Africa has fallen apart, they have a refugee problem of Zimbabweans fleeing to South Africa for refuge. So they're jumping out of the frying pan right into the fire, right? And so this is really interesting, but this lady, Kathy Buckle, wrote just what was happening this week. She says, it's been one of the worst weeks in Zimbabwe for many years, has left us shocked, frightened, and very uncertain about what is happening and what lies ahead of us in the coming days and weeks. So this is happening right now. I'm writing this letter from Zimbabwe during a brief window in which a court order has just been granted to reopen access to the internet, but not to social media. So look, key in on that. When things go sour, they want to control the citizens' ability to communicate. And so they're controlling, they're letting some limited internet take place, but they're really clamping down on the social media because it's so effective. So on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it was mostly too dangerous for people to venture out of their homes. A 3-day stay away called by the Congress of Trade Unions and other civic groups rapidly spiraled out of control on Monday. Violent protests, burning vehicles and buildings, looting shops, barricading roads, and vigilante groups running riot in our towns and cities. Many people reported hearing gunshots, helicopters hovering, pillars of black smoke. Sounds like Somalia. But this whole full report here, I was going to talk about it this weekend on Radio Free Redoubt as well, because they've had reportedly 600 people arrested, including a pastor who led a This Flag movement. So the doctors have handled 68 gunshot wounds, over 170 injuries, thousands of stories and eyewitness accounts of this kind of mayhem. The sight of armed soldiers in our towns is very unnerving. So they're using the military to come in and really stomping down on the citizenry to try to regain control. And of course, these people can't defend themselves, many of them. The criminals, of course, are armed.
They're always armed, right? You know, and there was a report that just came out recently on that, actually, that said very clearly that the majority of guns acquired by criminals, they acquire illegally. Well, duh.
Right.
You know, they don't walk into a store and try to put themselves in the police database. I mean,
right.
It's asinine to even try to make that argument. It really is.
Well, they dismiss the millions, literally millions of accounts of people using firearms to defend themselves, which was not even the intent of the founding fathers for you to be able to defend yourself against burglars. Oh, well, it was to defend yourself from any threat. You have the right, the God-given right to defend yourself like any animal that you, you know, you trap in a corner. It has the God-given inherent natural right to, you know, come out with claws and fangs and defend itself. So it's no different from humans, but they specifically, this is where we just missed the mark. They will twist the founding fathers' letters to create something out of whole cloth that's not even the intent of the founding fathers. And where the intent is clear, like the reason for the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, where it is so abundantly clear in all of their writings and all of their arguments, they want to tell us that's not what they really meant. The guns aren't, you don't need 20 or 30 round magazines for hunting deer.
But they weren't hunting deer. They were hunting the English.
Right.
Right.
Precisely. Right. Precisely. So right there is the spirit and intent of the law is very clear, but they ignore it. So they make things up in other areas like separation of children and God or the separation of church and state. As if it were in the Constitution. How many people believe the separation of church and state is in the Constitution somewhere? It's not. It was extrapolated from a letter and taken out of context to try to create a policy of separation of church and state. Because they're saying, well, we're looking at the intent of the founding fathers when they make that ruling. But they won't look at the founding fathers' intent when it comes to other things. Many other things. The Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms is just one example.
You know, it's interesting, the letter to the Danbury Baptist by Thomas Jefferson was actually to calm their fears that government was actually going to get involved in the church, prevent them from church planning, prevent them from spreading the gospel as they saw fit through their conscience and their worship of the Lord.
Right.
And you don't even hear that today. If you actually just go read the letter, it's very clear what he was talking about. And the same thing is with the right to bear arms. There are countless debates that the founding fathers had on it. And the debates were not like, oh, we really shouldn't have firearms. There should be gun controls. It was how many firearms should we actually have? How big of a militia should there actually be?
And the types of firearms that they should have. It was very clear that the citizenry are to be at least as well armed as a standing military would be, which means we should have mortars and saws and M249s.
And people are like, are you serious?
Right.
You know, here's the deal. It's a hard issue. If you have Christians in a country, they're not going to go use that on stuff, right? They're not going to abuse it.
Which was John Adams' point when he said this Constitution is for governing a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any other. So the further we see, that's where people don't get it. The relationship with God, specifically with Christ, is liberating. That's where you have true freedom because you don't need these controls. The further away you get from God, the more we degenerate we get, that's when you start having people misuse things like firearms, which requires laws to try to control the people's behavior. So the further that we get away from God and his principles, the more you will either be ruled by God or by the sword, by the Bible or the sword, one or the other.
And I think that's a good segue into the next thing on the international front, where you have a NATO defense chief. Now, I want to read this.
Unbelievable.
You have a NATO defense chief, okay? By the way, German, okay, we're just going to leave that sitting there for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's what he said.
She said.
The world still needs NATO, okay? Okay, I can kind of, all right, that's your argument, okay? Not you know, we could get into discussions about is that, you know, worth the U.S. time? Should we be involved in entangling alliances? Okay, but this is really what I thought was startling. Quote, most of all, it will send a clear signal to those opposing the rules-based international order. We transatlantic treaty allies are ready and willing to defend our soil, our people, and our freedom. So what she's saying is a stronger NATO is needed to protect against those who oppose the New World Order.
Yeah.
So once again, people said, that'll never happen in your lifetime. That's all conspiracy theory. You just calm down and be quiet. You don't need to worry about it.
I remember when somebody would use the term New World Order, you were a conspiracy theorist. But now they're saying we need to protect the New World Order, the international order, the global order. And I would love to hear the explanation of what they think they mean when they say rules-based international order.
Exactly. They mean is a bunch of elitists who think that they know better than we do how to run our lives.
Absolutely.
It, right?
Rules. Rules for establishing and enforcing an international order. So they want to use NATO now to go after anyone who would oppose this international order.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a letter to George Soros asking him to redistribute some of his wealth to Radio Free Readout.
I would greatly appreciate that because, well, for all kinds of reasons.
Would you actually take it, right? This is dirty money, right?
Transfer the wealth from the wicked to the righteous, right?
The spoils,
spoils
go to the righteous.
Absolutely.
So, let's stay in Germany for a second, all right? So this comes to us from WorldNet Daily. The last was from the New American, and if you don't know about the New American, it is the greatest intelligence digest published today, probably in the world. It's
really
absolutely fantastic. Okay, WorldNet Daily, the European Court of Human Rights. Okay, right there, I've got a problem. But aside, the European Court of Human Rights issued a ruling supporting a decision by German authorities to demand that parents relinquish their children to state socialization in public schools. And the right of the German government to use battering ram assaults on the family home to raid the home and make sure that happens.
Well, you have a problem with that, comrade?
Okay, this is again why we need the right to bear arms.
Yes.
Right? I mean, come on. Who?
Unreal.
You can't. Like 10 years ago, if you had said this to somebody, they would have said, again, you're a conspiracy theorist. This will never happen. Calm down, sit in the corner, drink a latte, right?
Right. Well, this is what's interesting here. When she says, we're ready and willing to defend our soil, our people, and our freedom. As they are saying this, a German is saying this, they are not defending their soil. They've handed it over to invaders. They haven't protected their people. Their people are victims of these invaders that they brought in. And they're losing their freedom because there's places in their own country they can't go. So what are the rules-based international order that they're trying to defend? They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. Because what they're trying to enforce – is removing their soil and their people and their freedom.
That's exactly right. I think that's why this nationalist movement is spreading all over the world. It's spreading throughout Europe.
Yeah.
Our good friend Mark Sutherland over there in England is just adamant there's going to be a no-deal Brexit. They're just going to leave cold turkey.
Yep.
That France is on the verge of doing the same thing. Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria.
Yes.
They're all on the verge of doing the same thing.
Yeah, they are. And the ones that are taking the heat. Now, I think in my mind, I wonder what these – Let's, because you brought up these countries, specifically Hungary, the only nation on earth that I'm aware of that is a constitutional Christian nation. You've got a former Soviet bloc nation who's rushing toward God, and you've got a nation built on by godly men, the United States, rushing away from God and toward communism. It's really been a flip. But what's interesting is Hungary and the Czech Republic and there's a couple others, they're taking so much heat for not taking in these refugees. And here's the connection. I don't know if you remember Angela Merkel berating Hungary and the Czech Republic for building walls and fences, protecting their border, saying we're not going to have these Muslim invaders come into our country.
Did you say wall?
What? Did that slip out? So they don't have this Muslim problem, this Muslim invasion. I don't mean Muslim. I mean Islam. We're not against Muslims. We're against Islam.
Specifically, civilization jihad, which is a good yes. segue into
cultural jihad, al-Hijra.
Yeah. And look at Erdogan in Turkey has been wide open about the fact that he wants to establish a new caliphate. In fact, yep. in November, the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader, al-Qardawi, went to Turkey to make the case that Erdogan should be the next caliph. When Erdogan was in Washington, D.C., the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States called him, quote, their president.
Isn't that something? And that's a NATO country. Now put all of this together. You've got this German military leader saying we need to start punishing people who will not follow along with this international order. You've got Turkey, a NATO country, who's helped facilitate this invasion, this al-Hijra, this cultural jihad of this Islamic invasion into Europe. And you got Hungary and the Czech Republic and a couple of others that are saying no to this while they're berating those countries for not coming on board. So follow the logic trail here. Do they intend to contemplate at some point using NATO military force against those nations, like a Christian nation like Hungary and the other nations, who are refusing to allow their nations to be invaded by Islam?
You know what I love about Poland? That they have recaptured, reclaimed the idea that the United States had that everybody should be a member of the militia and own a firearm. They are having as a geostrategic move.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
It is. Well, the Swiss did it. That's where the term redoubt came from. It was the Swiss redoubt, which was the inspiration for the American redoubt, you know, the Inland Pacific Northwest, where people are encouraged to be prepared to defend life, liberty, and property. And, you know, of course, in the case of the American redoubt, it's a political migration movement of people trying to be around other like-minded American patriots and self-reliant patriots. But in the Swiss redoubt, that was precisely what it was about. It was about national defense. It was their national defense strategy that every male be armed. They had plans to blow all the passes and the tunnels coming into the country to in response to a Nazi German invasion. And incidentally, Switzerland was, I think, the only country in Europe that was not even attempted to be invaded by Nazi Germany.
Right. Completely surrounded, actually, you know, if you think about it, by Axis countries. It's amazing, but it's a cautionary tale again for us, a lesson for us here in the United States. And I think that brings us perfectly to the national front. where we talk about the APA guidelines, because let's come back to America, right? Because we're, you know, looking at the world from a realistic lens.
Bring it home.
Right. The APA guidelines that warn against, quote, toxic masculinity or traditional masculinity. And then a study on top of that, that came out a week later. This is a new study from Brunel University, London, that found, quote, and this is coming to us from The Blaze, that physically weaker men are more apt to believe in socialist policies. They examined 171 men aged 18 to 40, examined their overall physical strength, bicep circumference, weight, and height. So here's the deal.
So frail.
There is a direct correlation with skinny jeans and socialism. Direct correlation. That's what this study is saying.
Wow.
It's scientific. I mean, come on.
Man the heck up.
Well,
it's time for a man. I think, you know what, the women that I know, they want men who are toxically masculine.
One of the best memes I saw was Iwo Jima, right? The flag being raised. And it said, you weren't worried about toxic masculinity when we were saving the world, right? I mean,
right.
It is perfect, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we need more warriors. We need more Christians that are warriors and armed, trained, educated, well-rounded in their skill sets, and man up. Right now, they're needed.
Seriously, you know, put down the latte and pick up a gun. You know what I mean? Maybe that's a meme.
Put down the latte and pick up a gun. I love it. You just made that up.
Dude, this is going to go viral. We know it. All right. So this brings us to people that should have been standing up for weaker people and did not. William Barr, the nominee now for Attorney General, was actually a defender of some of the things that happened at Ruby Ridge and some of the people that were involved there. I mean, raising very serious questions, I think, about his qualifications. We don't need that type of mentality continued that people who are trying to stand up for the rights instead have their wife and kid shot, right? I mean, it just isn't
right.
Sniper rifles are not due process, just very clearly. And it seems also that it's interesting coincidence that now there has been given permission to appeal the ruling by the judge in Nevada throwing out the whole Bundy trial, right? Now they want to revisit that. This is where, you know, America, you know, if you want America to continue, you want the Constitution to be upheld, we have to have people of character that are willing to do that despite all the pressure they might be getting politically.
Well, the one person's patriot is another person's terrorist. And the modern tyrants haven't had what the British got to have, and that is patriots swinging on a rope by their necks. These guys got away with it. And in their minds, the patriots got away with it. And they cannot stand. They cannot let that stand. They're going to keep coming over and over. And now, right now we have this temporary reprieve. And I want to remind the patriots out there, I'll tell you what, the militias were growing. People were thinking about self-reliance. They were thinking about our country descending into the type of tyranny that we've seen in history under the previous president, who will not be named, and that administration. But President Trump isn't going to be there forever. And now, I mean, I see the left and even moderates gushing over some of these people like this Kamala Harris.
Comrade Harris.
And I saw the same type of energy when the previous president was still a senator, and they were, I looked at him and I said, that guy's going to be the president. You watch. They want him to be so badly, from the academia to the media, Hollywood, the entire godless culture wanted him to be president so bad. You could see that they were acting like he was president when he was still a senator, and he didn't do squat as a senator. Of course, he got a Nobel Peace Prize, like just for taking the oath to become president, I guess. I'm not sure. So there are people on the radar that they're trying to promote heavily. They're frothing at the mouth for the opportunity to take back the executive branch of our government. They already have the legislative, and they have the
judicial. And they have the bureaucracy. I mean, they really do.
That's where it's at, right there.
I mean, that is the center of the beast, right?
Swarms of officers eating out our substance.
And if you don't know that reference, that is from the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
That one document that we don't seem to read.
And that's interesting, too, to read the history of, for example, the Bolshevik Revolution. Everybody worked for the government. If you weren't part of if you were involved in the government, employed by the government, you were really somebody. That's what people aspired to get a government job. And they got privilege. They got power, privileges that other people didn't have. And they're treated like royalty. And we see the same thing in our own government. Sadly, that's where the real tyranny is at the bureaucratic level. Presidents and congressmen, senators come and go, but those people are so deeply entrenched and so heavily leaning to the left, to the anti-American side of the spectrum.
They really are, and they would seem to think that no, we're progressive. We want to see America evolve into something better.
Right.
These tired old notions from these old men back in the day,
old white men,
old white slave owners. That's what they say. Yeah, and then you say, well, that it was written in the Constitution to abolish slavery in 1808, right? And they were like, what are you talking about? Go read it.
Right.
And it actually happened in 1808. The importation of slaves was abolished as soon as they could do it. And the other part that's interesting, too, is a lot of those people of character did the right thing regardless on their own. But I digress a little bit on that. Getting back to the main point, if we don't have the Constitution uniting us, then we cannot be a country.
Right.
I mean, you can't be a country. That's the center.
Well, that's why they are dismantling the Constitution piece by piece.
And ignoring it, which, again, you get to the Convention of States issue, which that brings us to the...
Reinterpreting it.
Yeah, it brings us to the regional front.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask about that. See, this is something that I'm not familiar with. I haven't been able to study up on it. Only I'm aware that it's there, but I haven't read up on the details. So what's going on with that?
Okay, so there have been three calls for a constitutional convention in the history of the state of Washington. One in 1903, and that was a call for a constitutional convention for the direct election of senators. By the way, that tells you that they had been working on it for 15 years until they actually got it through, okay?
Right.
Just so you kind of put that timing together.
Because I think most people don't realize senators were not elected by – they weren't on a ballot when you go to vote. Those were elected by – the representatives, the state representatives.
That's right. And the state representatives could recall their senator at any time.
Right.
And also that senator was responsible for making sure that the money the state was giving to the federal government at that time, okay, they actually cut checks to the federal government, was spent wisely and appropriately, and government was kept limited.
Wow.
And it's an amazing concept. But back in that day, 1903, they called for a constitutional convention. The direct election of senators. 1909, they called for a constitutional convention to prohibit polygamy, okay? Which apparently may actually come back today, too, this discussion. But I digress on that, too. So then in 1963, they also called for a constitutional convention. And this time, it was on the apportionment of representatives. There was a Supreme Court case that essentially tried to eviscerate the idea that there could be a senator over a county, a senator over a region, and a representative representing just the population. So it kept a check and balance in the system.
Right.
So they wanted a constitutional convention over that. We introduced House Joint Memorial 4006 to rescind those calls for a constitutional convention because they were open-ended. And just get them off the books, clean the books up, but also to have this discussion that if we can't enforce an existing piece of paper, the Constitution,
right,
how are we going to enforce one that is amended, right?
Right.
And people say, oh, you don't understand. Our amendment, that's going to be the one that this is going to be the one we're going to enforce, right? It doesn't make any sense.
We're gonna create a new part of the Constitution that we will enforce. I get it. Okay.
What I really think is it's a failure to recognize where we're at in the world, where we're at right now as a country, and all these other cautionary tales we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes that are happening around the world that are cautionary tales to us here in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, just it should be simple, but it's not. It should be spurring us to self-government, right?
Well, there's it's actually spurring some people to say maybe we shouldn't even be worrying about Washington State Constitution and Washington State at all. Maybe it's time for a new state.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe it is. And, you know, what's interesting, too, there were actually some polls done recently on this. So
recently, reinforcing previous polls. See, the previous polls asking people what they thought about this, what we're going to talk about, must have just been a fluke. It was just that one time. It was a weird deal that people actually supported it. So let's run another poll.
And another poll.
Exactly. So here we are, three polls now, all of them consistently. I'm not seeing anything less than 71% in all three of these polls.
25,000 people.
Okay? Yes.
That is more, I think, times 20 than normal presidential polls.
Okay? The first poll, what we're talking about here, is whether or not people in Eastern Washington would support or oppose the forming of a new splitting Washington state, making everything east of the Cascades its own separate state and cutting the ties because we're not properly represented. And the people have lost the power of the vote. Everything they vote for, they're completely overrun on, just like what Lady Liberty says over from libertystate.org in the public service announcements. And it's true.
It is true. And you know what's interesting is it crosses all these demographics, right?
Right.
Both parties, people in both parties support this idea. And we've received some emails and people have said,
yeah,
look, this is a terrible idea. This is dumb. And I say, well, you can think that, but 71% of the people think the opposite. And they don't seem to respond to me after I say that. This is, you know, folks that are on the left who don't want to see us reclaim freedom and have this discussion.
You know, back in the 1770s, there were a lot of colonialists, who thought breaking off from England was dumb. So let them think that it's dumb. But a lot of people also said it's a nice idea, but it'll never happen. And I've seen some of the online comments. People that say it'll never happen, but I support the concept. I support the idea. I support them if they can pull it off, but it won't happen. Well, that's exactly what they said at the formation of our country. But when you go back to the polls, the first poll was 8,000 participants. They cut it off early. It was what, 73%, I believe?
74, yeah.
74% supported it. Oh, but that poll didn't count. I mean, it's only 8,000 people. Now we got this most recent poll out of Yakima, the Tri-Cities, with what, 25,000 participants?
Well, no, right now I think it's over 15, but I'm adding all of them together.
Oh, yeah. So you have almost twice as many participants in the most recent poll, and the sentiment is still no less than 71% of the people favoring breaking away because they don't see another solution. All these other solutions, let's have a constitutional convention and let's write up some part of the Constitution that we'll be able to enforce because we can't enforce the rest of the Constitution, even though all of these elected officials have taken oaths to uphold and defend it, and they don't. So how can we expect for them to uphold and defend and abide by a new revised amendment to that same constitution they're not following.
It doesn't make any sense. And also, it's interesting, the governor and the attorney general and the speaker of the house keep saying, we share the same values. We are one Washington, blah, 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 blah. Only we don't share the same values. We don't share the same values on the issues of abortion. We don't share the same values on the issue of taxes. We don't share the same values on the issue of guns. We don't share the same values on the issues of property rights,
right,
and liberty. And and people know intuitively that they're lying when they say that. And,
yeah,
you know, we had this recent thing where the governor said, you know, he wants to increase the budget by 20% after he did last year, right? And people are like, how are we going to pay for this? Well, of course, it's raising taxes.
Right.
And one of the ways they proposed was through essentially attacking our hairstylists, not our barbers.
Yeah.
And they saw that blow up in their face earlier today when 1,200 of them signed in opposed to a bill and 8 signed in favor. And I think they just have lost complete touch with the rank and file normal folks.
They are delusional. We're not, you know, it's not a united Washington state. The people in Washington, if it's true that they all share the same values, they need to rescind these bills, banning firearms or all these restrictions on firearms. They need to rescind them. They need to come in line with Washington state and what the people of Washington state wants.
Well, then they turn around and say, well, but there was this initiative and people voted for more, you know, background checks, and they voted for more restrictions on firearms.
Right.
And I look at that and I look at the map, the bi-county map of the vote. And it was Seattle that voted for that.
Well, and largely also, you know, it's amazing how many patriots are in the greater Puget Sound area. Mm-hmm. There are a lot. But it's just like California. You know, there's millions of patriots in California. They're just outnumbered by the tens of millions who aren't. So really, it's disingenuous to say Washington people voted for this latest gun measures, because the truth is that billionaires dumped millions of dollars on a propaganda campaign deceiving the people about these gun initiatives, that it would keep children safe and that it would just be common sense, practical measures to reduce these senseless active shooter situations. And all the other lies that people say, well, yeah, I'll vote for that. I would like to see less active shootings situations. I would like to see less children shot. Yeah, I'll support that. But they were duped by propaganda.
They were duped by propaganda. And some of them, you know, like Spokane County barely passed it. And
yeah,
again, a lot of people thought, no, this is really the right thing to do to be, you know, good
absolutely
stewards and also help our children out. Right.
There was no open debate and a discussion of presenting two sides of the story. It was just hammering them repeatedly with endless propaganda backed by leftist globalist billionaires, and the people fell for it. I don't know what else to say. It's sad. The people have gotten to the point where they can't think through these issues themselves, that they're so easily manipulated by emotional presentations that they don't see the logical side of the issues.
You know, and it's interesting on other issues, like with the hairdressers, you know, they saw that issue. They saw what it was going to do to their business. These all are small business owners. Some of them are the sole breadwinners.
Yeah.
A lot of single moms that are doing cosmetology and hairdressing. And they came to Olympia and quite literally changed the direction of the state. If we could do that on all of these other issues,
yes,
my goodness, the issues that really are the ones that protect the republic.
Yeah. Get off their hands and get involved and get engaged.
So
you can't be a spectator today. There's too much on the line.
There is too much on the line. So we got about, 7 minutes left or so. I want to talk real quick about this measles outbreak in Southwest Washington. The knee-jerk reaction is House Bill 1638, which would take away the philosophical and personal exemptions, which essentially imputes the religious exemption, even though they say they keep it there.
Correct.
Legally, it imputes it. So in other words, it undermines a religious exemption. And in addition to that, today, a bill was dropped essentially regarding universal home visits. Now, the governor had set aside in his budget $38 million for universal home visits. I want to describe for you what a universal home visit is.
Please do.
If you are determined, okay, of course by a bureaucrat, not by a judge, but if you are determined to be an at-risk family, okay, we are now going to, not we, but them, they are going to send bureaucrats to your house to visit just to make sure you're okay, right? And if they see anything, maybe they might document it. Maybe you might lose your kids. Maybe you might lose your firearms rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And oh, by the way, this is in the same vein as this mandatory vaccination bill. Essentially, we know better than you. I got to tell you something, folks. There are a lot of people out there that are really passionate on vaccines, okay? They're on both sides. Here's the deal. If you believe that the government can tell you what you can put in your body, where does that end? And who decides that?
Right.
Well, you have to ask those questions. If you believe that, you essentially are believing what the German government believed and what they were tried for at Nuremberg. You got to understand that this issue was settled at Nuremberg about the physical integrity of your body. I'd like to get your reaction on that, JJ.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's not just the moral implications here, but also the practical implications. The research that I've seen shows that when you get vaccinated, okay, people who have outbreaks or people oftentimes who've been vaccinated for it, people who have not been, look at the flu shot, for example, just take something as simple as the flu shot. How many people get the flu who have had the flu shot? And so few people get the flu who didn't get the flu shot. And when it comes to this, another thought that popped into my mind is the demographics. It would be interesting to see. I've not seen any reports on the demographic groups, but I know that in communities where there are high numbers of illegal immigrants, we're starting to see diseases that we pretty much have not seen in decades now starting to recur in areas where there are illegal immigration communities, where, you know, coming to our country from another country, this nation was really built up by people who came here from other countries, but there was a process. There was an immigration process. There was a quarantine process for people that came over here, even from Europe, to make sure they weren't bringing certain diseases or the plague or things like that into our country. So we're bypassing that, and it's those the illegal immigrant communities where we're seeing a lot of these types of diseases, measles, mumps, polio, and things like that, that we had otherwise eradicated. So it's almost like we're creating the necessity to start reintroducing new vaccinations again, where it wasn't necessary before.
Right. And, you know, like the flu vaccine, the efficacy rate below 10% in this year.
Right.
You know that there is a serious and significant issue when somebody is quite literally saying, we are now going to force you to do this. We are going to now force you to put something in your body.
Yeah.
You have to ask, is the motivation truly legitimate? Because anybody asking that question truly can't have a legitimate motivation, because you just don't do that to people. You don't. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian or not. You don't do that to people if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the physical integrity of the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Well, will they start forcing people to have abortions at some point?
Right.
Right now, it's a hands-off approach. They cannot ban abortion because you can't tell somebody what to do with their own body. But we're going to make an exception here. We're going to force you to do something with your body by taking these chemicals that have either not been thoroughly tested, or where there's questionable research showing that the safety of some of these things are questionable, but we're going to force you to inject your body with it anyway, even because you don't have the right over your own body. Unless you want to murder your own child, then you have full rights over your own body. So this is the duplicity that we have in our culture, the chaos, the confusion, it's delusional. What a delusional culture it's become.
What if they made us drink lattes and wear skinny jeans? I mean, that's actually a nightmare scenario.
You have to pass more funding for the suicide hotlines.
Put down your latte and pick up a gun.
Pick up a gun.
All right. So, hey, we've got a minute left. If you could, real quick, for the listeners out there, Radio Free Readout, when is it air? How can they find out more information?
Yeah, thanks. Well, every Saturday morning from 9 to 9:30, we just do a 30-minute show. It's kind of a recap of the week whatever I feel is put on my heart at the time. And that's broadcast through the ACN affiliate, KTW, out of Spokane. And, of course, that also live streams. And then every Sunday evening, we live stream the Radio Free Redoubt podcast Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. And those are live streaming from that website. And, of course, they're all uploaded as podcasts for people to download and listen to later.
Awesome. John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today, man. I really appreciate you and everything you're doing.
Great to be with you. Hey, thanks for being in the fight. God bless you, brother.
All right. Everybody out there, here's what you can do. Get on the internet, email your legislators. Better yet, meet with them in person, schedule a meeting, call their offices. Don't call the legislative hotline. Call their physical offices and let them know where you stand. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.